Good morning, everybody. We're going to take a look at God's Word today. I'm thankful for the visitors that we have. We have a number of visitors, and we're awful glad that you took time out of your day to worship God with us. The scripture reading this morning was Romans 15, verse 4. I used to, when I was a younger man, wonder, why did God have an Old Testament if He was going to have a New Testament for us to follow? Why not just cut to the chase and get to the New Testament right out of the barrel? We wouldn't have understood it. We wouldn't have understood about sacrifice. We wouldn't have understood about a coming Messiah, etc., etc. And this verse, when I very first read it for the first time, it dawned on me. That's why those things in the Old Testament are important for us today. Paul wrote, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And I tell you, when we study things in the Old Testament, it sheds light and illuminates our way to understand things better for the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we're going to look today at man in the garden. A perfect situation. God had created the Garden of Eden for man and woman. And it was a perfect situation until man screwed it up, until man sinned. And then it didn't go as God designed. And even though going all the way back to Genesis, there's a lot of things that apply to us today that we can learn from God's Word all the way back in Genesis chapters 1 through 3. Some of the things that we can, as before we even study this, that I would like for you to kind of keep in the back of your mind, some of the things that we can learn is the nature of God. We can learn in the very first chapters of the Bible, we get to know God, and He has not changed. Another thing that we can see is the nature of man. A lot of times it's easy to point fingers at people that did things so long ago, but I tell you, I got a feeling some of us would have done the very same things when we read, whether it be New Testament or Old Testament. Another area is the power of sin. As I was preparing this lesson, those of you that prepare Bible studies and Sunday night lessons and so forth, you'll get what I'm talking about. As I was studying this for weeks ago, I started chasing another rabbit trail about the power of sin. And have started working on a lesson about sin in general. But I tell you, the power of sin, we see that here in these first few chapters of Genesis. And not only do we see the power of sin, we see the consequences of sin. One of the things that we see in the garden is man's creation and God's design for Him to have dominion in the Garden of Eden. And we see this after God has created the earth and the animals and the plants and all of that. Only in verse 26 we see the creation of man. And it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping things that creeps on the earth. There's a lot of things in just this one verse of the Bible that man was created in the image of God. Amen. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image. God is not a short, fat, bald guy. I don't look like God. You don't look like God. Nothing physical here is relation to God. Let us make man after our likeness, with the emotions, with the feelings. And one of the things we see in the nature of God, God is an emotional God. He has feelings of jealousy. He has feelings of wrath. Of course, the wrath is always justified, unlike sometimes ours isn't. But let us make man in our image. And he created this world and would put man in it to have dominion. Another similarity. Like God has dominion over us, man was going to have dominion over the things that he had created. The garden itself. In chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. I don't know about you, I like getting out in nature. He created the plants and the trees. The trees that are beautiful to look at, but also the trees that provide the food. The plants that provide the food for man to eat. Amen. He created that. And continue on in verse 9, the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were also in the midst of that garden. Trees that were pretty to look at, trees that provided food, and a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. After this creation, God gave man a command. A command, not a suggestion, not this would be kind of good for you to do, a command. And in chapter 2, starting in verse 15, it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. He had responsibility. That is another thing that we see in the nature of God. He gave to man, but he had man with responsibility to tend and keep the Garden of Eden. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God has created all, and he gave man his life. He gave man everything he needed. He gave him responsibility, and he gave him a command. You can eat any tree from the tree that you want, but not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He even gave man woman. In the very next verse, verse 18, says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. God knew. God knew that us guys couldn't make it on our own. He created women to help us because we couldn't get by ourselves. God knew that man, it wasn't good for man to be alone. And he created a helper, somebody that they could work together. Not somebody for him to boss around. Not somebody to nag him. A helper. Now, leave the elbows where they're at. You know, I'm seeing some elbows going here. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And the Lord, in verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed, because God had given them to each other, and God had blessed this union. Enter the serpent. It only took three chapters in Genesis before the devil shows up. Not a good situation. In verse 1 it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Look at how the devil, the serpent, is described. More cunning than any beast of the field. Now I'll tell you, the animals that God created, you look at the animal world, and there are some very wily and cunning animals to hunt, to find food, to ambush. More cunning than that. More cunning than any of the beasts of the field. And the devil asks Eve a question. He says, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He's posing a question. He's twisting God's commandment. Didn't God say you could have everything that you wanted from the garden? And we see just how cunning the devil is. In Revelation 12, verse 9, Jesus says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old. He's been around. We're seeing the first signs in Genesis of the serpent. And in Revelation, Jesus is saying that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He just did not deceive Eve. He would go on to deceive the world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We also see in John 8:44, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here, and he says, you are of the Father, your father, the devil. And the desires of your father, you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Let us make God in our image. Jesus was around from the beginning. He's telling the Pharisees, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. I know. And does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, not from God. For he is a liar and the father of it. That's a pretty condemning picture of the devil. And this is the devil, the serpent of old, that is being talked about here in Genesis. He asked Eve, hasn't God told you that you can have eat from any of the trees here in the garden? And we have Eve's response. In Genesis 3, verse 2, she says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. She remembered. She got it a little wrong. She remembered God said, you can eat any of the trees, but not of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And she remembered that part, but she added something. Nor shall you touch it. God never said that. Man said that. They twisted it a little bit. She got it close. She came close. And that's the importance. We see the nature of man. God wants us to keep his commandments exactly. Second Timothy 2:15, I read and I study out of the New King James Version, and it says, be diligent. I love the King James where it says, study to show yourselves approved. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Eve was close, but she didn't rightly divide the word of truth. She was close with it. This is something that we can learn from today for our lives. Then came the big lie from the serpent, the devil, Satan. Continuing on, it says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He's twisting it, suckering her in. You know God loves you. He wants you to be like him. Using man's logic, not what God had said, but man's rationale. Man's logic. And it is so tempting. It is so from our viewpoint, from our eyes, of course this sounds good. But it wasn't what God wanted. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul wrote, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The Bible message is simple. It's simple. It's not, you don't have to be a... I can understand most of it even. If I can understand it, anybody can. The simplicity that's in Christ. It's a simple message. Now comes sin. in verse 6 of Genesis 3, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she ate of it, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise." The three paths of sin that the Apostle John wrote about, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. A lot of things here. Not only by not adhering to God's word, sin entered, Eve ate, and sin entered into their lives. But we see that people can influence others to sin. And that's what happened. And then all of a sudden, the thing that God did, well, He didn't want them to eat of it anyway, all of a sudden, their knowledge of nakedness showed up. And they were embarrassed, they were ashamed, and they tried to cover their sin with fig leaves. We also learn in this passage that we are accountable to God. They were accountable to God. In verse 8 of chapter 3, it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." They used to have free rein. They hear, what a situation they had, that they were amongst God and now they had to hide their faces from Him. "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" You ever done something as a child and your mom or dad, maybe you broke something. Maybe you did something wrong. And they call you by name. "Where are you?" You're hiding. You're laying low. "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Have you ever been on a hot seat like that? God is asking you, what have you done? Did I not specifically tell you not to do that? But. We start seeing the excuses. "Wasn't my fault. God." Adam starts rattling off excuse after excuse. In verse 12, it says, "Then the man said," and I love, well, I don't love it because it's kind of condemning, but get a load of this first excuse. It's kind of blaming God. "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. If you don't want me to eat, maybe it's not my fault. You gave me Eve. She's the one that gave it to me." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "Wasn't me. The serpent deceived me and I ate." Passing the buck. I look at Adam here. He's blaming not only God, He's also blaming Eve. Where was Adam when all this was taking place? Where was Adam to protect his mate? To correct her from the deception of the devil? Maybe he could have stepped in and saved the day, which was his duty to do. But he winds up blaming her. Something I see here, sin is sin. We all have to be accountable to it. But men, we need to be accountable not only for our lives, but for our mate. We have to protect them. We have to protect congregations from the sin of the world, from the sin of false teaching, and stand up and not make excuses. Wasn't my fault. Hebrews 4:13 says, and there is no creature hidden. Adam and Eve wanted to try to hide from God their sin. And there is no creature hidden from His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. There's going to be a day that we're going to have to stand before God and give an account of the things that we've done, whether we've upheld His word or whether we've sinned. The consequences, they were severe. In verses 14 through 24, we see that Adam and Eve were forced to leave the garden. They had it pretty good there until they sinned. They were forced to be separated from the presence of God. That's going to be eternity for us. Whether or not we get to live in eternity in the presence of God or away from His presence. They wound up suffering physically and spiritually. And they learned that God was serious about sin. These messages are as alive for us today as it was for Adam and Eve in the garden. Romans 3:23, Paul wrote, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can't say what knuckleheads Adam and Eve were. What knuckleheads have we been?
Amen.
Sinning. We have sin in our lives. And the consequences of that sin is Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the benefit of turning to God. John 3:16 and 17, we use this. I know I use this verse, this passage, an awful lot. It's probably one of the very first passages we as Christians have ever heard. For God so loved the world, in spite of that sin. In spite of the sin. Because of the sin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That shows the love that God had for us, that He provided a way for us not to have to give to be condemned by the sin in our lives. The plan of salvation is very simple. Most of us here have done this. You have to ask yourselves, do you want to be pleasing in God's eyes? Have you heard the word of God, Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you believe in God? You have to believe in God. People that don't believe in God are not going to be saved. Case closed. You've got to confess that belief. Matthew 10:32. You have to repent of sins. You cannot keep living in sin and be pleasing to God. You have to be baptized. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And you have to remain faithful. You have to remain faithful to God. Matthew 10:22, Jesus says, he that endures to the end will be saved. We can learn a lot from Adam and Eve. The question is, like the scripture we used earlier, the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of Christ. The plan of salvation is simple. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. It's very plain in the Bible. I'll leave you with the question, what will you do? If you've been baptized, great. If you've got sin in your life, you need to repent. If you need to respond to the invitation today, learn from the lesson of Adam and Eve. Learn from their mistakes. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Curtis leads us in the invitation song. Let us stand.